Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Another disappointing day for the Demons on the King's birthday, and the prospect of the next 4 to 6 weeks without Christian Petrarca, who's had surgery on a ruptured spleen, punctured kidney and broken ribs. So how do the Ds recover from a month of hell, and how will they cover for their most effective midfielder and forward for the foreseeable future? Hello, I'm Andy Belez, and welcome to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. Glenn McFarlane will join me to discuss the Demons' limited options and who can actually win the flag this year. Well, Macca has three teams in mind with one in pole position. Let's get on with it. And here on the Herald Sun Footy Podcast, we're joined seemingly every week, but we're joined again by Glenn McFarlane. G'day, Macca.
G'day, Andy. How is that? Because I'm the only one here at the moment, or I think do you actually?
You just wanted to rub Monday's disaster in.
I had booked this spot in a number of weeks ago. No, to be honest, I was a bit surprised at how meek Melbourne was, to be honest.
Meek Melbourne.
So disappointing, weren't they?
Absolutely, they were against a half-built Collingwood team, and for all, you know, Simon Goodwin can say they had 15 premiership players, all he likes, but that there were seven who were injured or not able or not in
structure
the team.
Structure beats stars sometimes, doesn't it?
It does, particularly if one of the stars in a Norm Smith medalist, Christian Petrarca, goes down with, what is it, Mac?
Yeah, this is just really concerning when you look at it. A lacerated spleen, a punctured lung, partly punctured lung, and four broken ribs. To think that he actually went back on. You don't often see players in enormous pain go off the ground and then go downstairs and then re-emerge. Obviously, he had some treatment. They tried to get him going again, and you think, this guy's a Rolls Royce. What do you not just put the game, in a sense, wasn't gone when he was injured, but it was close to being gone, and they were in big trouble. No issues with the medical staff. They would have done the right thing. They wouldn't have put him at risk or anything like that. But this guy is the most important player, leaving aside Max Gawn. This guy's the most important player at the club. I'm not sure why he went back on.
It seems, in hindsight now, with that diagnosis and the fact that he's been through surgery, I mean, it seems unconscionable almost that they would send him out there. But they obviously had no idea that it was this serious.
Correct. No, don't realise it's that. But there was always the threat of that potentially being a case.
Of course. I think they probably, if they had their time again, they would have kept him off, obviously.
Absolutely.
But we're talking at least a month.
And I think it might even be longer. Like with an injury like that, and we know that they've got the bye in that bracket, so that does help in that sense. But you would think 4 to 6, Mason Cox had a spleen issue there as well, and it took him a long time to get back from that.
His spleen's a bit bigger probably.
Absolutely. Yeah. Have we all got similar sized spleens? I'm not sure. I'm going to go and Google that straight after this, Andy. But all I'll say is that's probably 4 to 6, maybe even a fraction longer for Petrarca. And Melbourne, he's the player that Melbourne can ill afford to lose more than anyone. Of course, Max Gawn, we say that. But this is a guy that can play in the midfield that now looks a boring, flat midfield, doing the same thing over and over and over again, but who can also play forward. And we've seen him dominate games playing forward, kicking goals. And that's an area that Melbourne is in huge trouble at the moment.
So let's turn our attention to who takes his spot. Because as you said, they're one-paced. Yep. They need that sort of explosiveness that he brings.
They do.
Where do the Demons turn next?
It's hard. I mean, you look at it, you think their list at the start of the year, you look, gee, this is a good list. This is going to go places and the like. But I don't know. It's looking very similar to me and very one-paced in a lot of ways. So we'll start with the midfield. What happens with the midfield? You look at Clayton Oliver, and Clayton Oliver is at the moment a shadow of himself, getting plenty of possessions. How many did he have yesterday? He would have had, he's had 28, but 298 metres gained. So that probably says, he's had so many handballs and that in that bracket. That was the issue. So he's not the player that he was, and we hope that he can get back to being that. Jack Viney's been down a little bit, hasn't he? Like, he's still getting plenty of the ball, still trying his heart out.
Well, that's the thing. He almost looks like a player who's trying too hard.
Agree. So that is that's why I think Melbourne need a bit of spark in there. And we saw Cozzy go through there at stages yesterday. And I think that's important. They need to do that. He needs to become almost, he's important down the other end, but he needs to become the player in there that gives them that little bit of spark. Does Rivers go through there? Does McVee go through there at some stage? They need to try some things up. I'm not sure where else Clayton Oliver plays if you're looking at playing. They tried him at halfback earlier in the year. That didn't go that well, halfback. So they need to reinvigorate that midfield because at the moment it's getting destroyed and that was their great strength. Forward, Andy, your guess is as good as mine. What the hell happens now?
It seems there seems to be and have been for a number of years that a sense of shuffling the deck chairs on the Titanic because, they drop Ben Brown, and then 2 weeks later they bring him back in, and he has just as much impact.
We know what happened in the Titanic; it didn't end well
either.
It didn't end well.
They did the same with Josh Shackey. I mean, isn't it amazing that that they brought Josh Shackey in to sit on the bench last year in that semi-final the sub. but he didn't get a run on the ground.
No.
Anyway, and Brody Grundy is now almost in all Australian form for a different team.
Couldn't get a game like that. And I think that's the issue with Simon Goodman. We know he's a premiership coach. We know he's an exceptional coach, but he's very dogmatic about his approach in a lot of areas. And I'm still of the opinion that, while you can say, Harrison Petty might give them something forward, I'm still of the opinion he's not a forward. He's never going to be a forward. Throw him back. And
absolutely,
we said here last week, there's some internal conversations going on at the Melbourne Footy Club about where he is best served playing. I don't know how they're going to get their goals going forward.
Well, they also, to replace Brody Grundy, who went to Sydney last year, they brought in Tom Fullerton from Brisbane Lions. He hasn't been cited in the first this year. Halfway through the season, he was brought in to give Max Gawn a chop out in the ruck. They're trying to use Van Rooyen as a second ruckman who played very well
as
a forward.
Yeah, promising signs.
But if he's having, as a kid, he's having to go into the ruck and he's having to come out again.
You almost don't want that. You want to just go and concentrate on your forward craft.
They took Matt Jefferson as a key forward in the first round a couple of years ago. He hasn't played league football yet and he's kicked bags of goals in the VFL. Yeah. I'm not saying that that is necessarily going to correspond to kicking goals in the AFL. Do they bring McAdam back?
Well, I think they have to in a sense, don't they? Probably looking at that.
Do they send Tom McDonald forward, which is a Melbourne supporter? I'm amazed. I can't even believe that I'm saying those words. Do they give Shackey another go? Do they send Tomlinson forward?
Oh.
I mean, as a supporter, and you've got to think of all the options because nothing's worked, so try something different.
So they've got a period now to actually have a think about it. They've got the bye this week, which I think is important. Then they play North Melbourne. So I don't think Simon Goodwin will be getting a lot of respite during the bye break. There'll be a lot of burning the midnight oil in terms of what's going on. I think he needs to be daring. I think he needs to take a punt because the way this season's going, it's almost a write-off. Not saying they can't play finals. They can. I'm just saying I don't think they can win the flag. So why not have a crack and change some things? Get a bit of pizzazz around the place.
Great.
And let's mix up some roles.
Only a game out of the four, Macca.
Well, that's the issue. Like, it's still there. Does anyone want to win it other than Sydney? It's a bit like that.
Well, let's take a break and let's talk about who actually can win it. Coming up after this, you're with the Herald Sun Footy Podcast.
I'm Andrew Rule, the host of the podcast, A Life in Crimes. Here are some of the things that we've been talking about the last few weeks. The brutal truth is that when you start looking at it, they always kill or injure a lot more than each other.
The professional hitman used to be a professional hitman.
Evil strikes in all forms, but particularly as stupidity. Life and Crimes is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, you're back with the Herald Sun Footy Podcast, and I'm here with Glenn McFarlane. Macca, we're going to talk about, because we've talked about over and over, who can't win it? Who actually can win the flag this year?
It's not quite the Stephen Bradbury premiership, is it? But because there's a few that can win it, and Sydney, fair dinkum, they have gone out like the proverbial, haven't they? They are two games clear. Look at their percentage. Like, how many teams can have 148.8 percentage? That's just extraordinary when you look at it. They're a sort of team that can win from anywhere as well, like the way Geelong. I thought there's another footy tip I've got wrong, and apologise to anyone who's ever followed my footy tips. I was all right last year. I've I've had a premiership hangover this year.
You could be the first tipster to go from first to last.
Yep. Pole to right down the back. Kiss of Death made up huge ground on me again on the weekend. And fair to say, I didn't take it very well. But Sydney to me, and this, no one's, I'm not telling anyone anything they don't know. Sydney is so far above anyone else at the moment. They're not unbeatable. No team's unbeatable. When you get to this stage of the year, if we're talking round 19 now, they're heading towards an unbeatable sort of area. But we are, you know, we are heading towards round 14. So there's a lot of footy to be played. So I think they're clearly above anyone else. I reckon there's two just below them that are the two teams that, in my mind, are the challengers, the real challengers. And they're the old rivals, Carlton and Collingwood. Mm. Carlton were very good on the weekend again. Sunday night, I was lucky enough to be there. Huge atmosphere, almost 90,000 people there. They've got so much about their game that we don't rely necessarily just on Cripps and Curnow and Walsh now.
Oh, you're right.
There are those role players now, the Hollands brothers, Zach Williams playing forward. They've done a great job. So I think they're thereabouts. Their experiences in the finals last year really suit them. You're going to say I'm a bit biased here, but I think Collingwood and the structure and the way they've been able to bring in young players or players that have been around the traps a little bit and haven't had many opportunities is outstanding. And the way they dismantled Melbourne, you put those two teams together, and I did it leading into the game, and I went, how did I tip Collingwood? I looked at it and I went, Melbourne's team to Collingwood's team. Yeah. Structure sometimes wins your footy games, and it certainly does. I think they'll start getting some guys back. They play North Melbourne next week. Then they'll have the bye. And then the likes of Majacek, Dugowie, Elliott's the back end. He'll be towards the finals, but most of those guys will be back. So, and then there's a rung underneath there, Andy. Now, we probably do need that. Just as the little asterisks, you know, you look at Essendon, you respect the fact that they've been able to, I still think they're a fair bit off the top three. Geelong, Fremantle's the one for me.
Yeah.
Just surprising me a little bit about what they can actually do. So whether they can back that up, and maybe GWS as well.
See, GWS play some really good games and then they can play some really poor games, can't they? They were dismantled themselves by Hawthorn.
Yeah.
Fremantle, well, it was an exclamation point against Melbourne last week. And they also, as much as we are a national competition and we watch every game, and they do get lost over there.
Completely. So, and that's true. There's no doubt about that. And I think we'll see this week. They play the Bulldogs at Marvel on Saturday. If they want to be serious, they should be beating the Dogs and beating them well.
Oh, yeah.
And then potentially you look at it, then they're heading up that ladder. Got to finish top four, you would think, if they're going to be any chance. But, you'd like to be on Sydney. You'd like to have a little ticket on Sydney at the moment, wouldn't you?
There's something about it that, yes, they are dominant, but my mind goes back, it's almost 20 years now, but to 2006 where Adelaide were so far in front. They had a percentage of 160 or something. They hadn't lost a game. They made the prelim, but then they lost fairly convincingly. I just think, can you keep that form up?
That's the hardest bit. And we've seen it a million times of clubs that have been so dominant at this stage of the year. Look at Geelong in 2008. They were so far above everyone else in the first 18 or 19, maybe even 20 weeks of that season. I think they'd lost one game in that sense. And then Hawthorn just kept chipping away and chipping away. So you can do it.
Two years ago, Melbourne won the first 10 games.
Correct. And then all of a sudden, I won't say...
Well, they come back to
a restaurant. I won't say a restaurant scenario. We won't go there.
Well, that's not.
No, we won't go there. That's the situation, that it can flip in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And I thought once Geelong's six goals in front, I thought, gee, this could be the script that is flipped for Sydney. And it wasn't.
Away they came.
And away they went again. So I think they're the team to beat. They'll go to Adelaide this week, and I think Sydney will put some more pain on Adelaide Crows this week. So it should be interesting.
Well, it is. And it's nice to have a pretty open, anyone can win sort of season other than maybe the Swans.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. And you want that. I think that there's a few clubs have shot themselves in the foot over the last 4 or 5 weeks, and GWS clearly being one of them. They're going to be the ones to watch. Can they get that back? Because they were, not that long ago, they were premiership favourites.
Wait and see. Thanks, Macca.
Good on you. Thanks, Andy.
That'll do us on today's Herald Sun Footy podcast. My name's Andy Belez, and my thanks to Glenn McFarlane for joining me today. As always, make sure you keep an eye out for all the trade buzz in Moneyball on Wednesday morning, Mick McGuan's analysis on Thursday at lunchtime, all the game day coverage over the weekend, and then, as always, Robbo's can't miss tackle on Sunday night. I'll catch you next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.